Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him, let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy.
We have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us, according to the promises You have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of Your holy name.
The Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Receive our Lord,
Our lection for this evening is from the third chapter of the Epistle of St. Paul to the Colossians, where we read in verses 16 and 17 as follows in our Lord's name. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So far the lesson. Our risen Lord. We learn from Scripture that it is the will of the Lord of the Church that his word should dwell in the faithful. It is by that word that the saving relationship between Christ and his faithful is established and maintained. And this indwelling of the word of Christ is to take place, as the Apostle says here, richly, not sparingly, but in abundance. And the Apostle specifies that this rich indwelling of the Word concerning Christ becomes a reality through mutual teaching and admonition. The faithful gather around the Word of Christ, and from that Word they are taught and admonished in the things of the Spirit. And this happens, the Apostle says, in connection with the use of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The theme of this week in the Christian church year has been shaped for centuries by the words Cantate Domino, Canticum Novum, or sing to the Lord a new song. In our experience, we usually think of the Christmas season as the season of special singing for the church, but historically, it was the Easter celebration that brought forth song from the lips of the people of faith. But let us for a moment engage in a little survey of the history of singing among the faithful across the ages. The first place in the Bible in which we encounter the verb to sing occurs in the account of the miraculous deliverance of the Israelites at the sea when they made their exodus from Egypt. The song of Moses and his sister Miriam in celebration of the great deliverance which God gave provides basic patterns and themes which were followed throughout the rest of the Old Testament era, the New Testament, the Apostolic Age, and all across the sweep of history of the history of the church. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed. The Lord is my strength and my song. The song of Moses and Miriam became the first great canticle, the paradigm, the pattern for hymnody for all generations of the faithful. They became the founders of a type of artistic expression which continues right down to our present usage. Consider other examples of canticles and psalms and hymns from the Old Testament era. 40 years after the celebration at the sea, when Moses was 120 years old and ready to leave this world, we read concerning him in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses wrote this song and taught it to the children of Israel. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. In the days of the judges, when Deborah and Barak enjoyed their smashing victory over the Canaanites, they sang, I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. When Hannah took her beloved son Samuel to serve at the tabernacle, she sang, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. When King David brought the Ark of the Covenant up to the city of Jerusalem, he sang, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, sing to him, sing praises to him, talk of all his wondrous works." The prophet Isaiah, in the 8th century before Christ, simply took lines directly from the song of Moses and Miriam and incorporated them into one of his canticles in the 12th chapter of his prophecy. "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth." Isaiah's illustrious contemporary, King Hezekiah, when he was delivered from his illness, sang these words, "The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." And when the people of Israel returned from exile in Babylon and laid the foundations for the reconstruction of the temple in the city of Jerusalem, they again borrowed directly from the song of Moses and Miriam and included several of its lines into what we know now as Psalm 118. "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you." The Virgin Mary, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and faithful Simeon at the presentation of the infant Jesus in the temple all added their New Testament canticles of praise to that growing body of the canticles and hymns of the faithful. The history of the church has been the history of the singing again of the old psalms and canticles and the composition of new hymns based on the patterns of the old. Singing and song have always both had literal and metaphorical meaning in Christ's church. The content of the song, in the sense of the confession of the church, is precisely the Lord and his salvation, the incarnation of the Son of God, his perfect life, his self-sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection in victory over sin and death, and the message of forgiveness and hope and comfort which flows forth from his life, death, and resurrection. This is the song of the church, which is sung by faith. The irrepressible urge to sing these truths has characterized the experience of the faithful across the ages. Where the metaphorical song has been sung by faith, there are also real physical voices have always been lifted up in the singing of the truths of Scripture. In the history of the Christian church, this has been particularly true in connection with the Easter observance. And that connection between Easter and the song of Miriam and Moses at the Exodus has long been made. The people of Israel were caught in hopelessness between the waters of the sea and the pursuing armies of the Pharaoh of Egypt. But God opened a way through the waters for his people and delivered them from all their enemies. The Lord was their strength and their song, and he became their salvation. The hopelessness of death looms before us, but our God, through the victory of his Son over death, has opened for us the door to everlasting life. The Lord is our strength and our song, and he has become our salvation also. Satan hates the singing of the church, and he works with all his might to stop it. But let the song go on. It's our great death-defying and Satan-defying act to lift up our voices in the songs of the church. The song of the faithful has come to our ears, sounding across the centuries from the voices of those who have gone before us. And now it's our turn to sing the song. And in so doing, we carry out the will of the Lord of the church, who exhorts us, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The Lord is our strength and our song, and he has become our salvation. He is our God, and we will praise him, our Father's God, and we will exalt him. Amen.